Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, April the 5th, 2017. And we begin today with the election news, where Renner sees re-election as affirmation of policy's style. This is by Maria Nagel. Out of Bloomington, Mayor Tari Renner said Tuesday he saw his re-election as an affirmation of the politics of unity, inclusion, and progress in Bloomington. This program was more than a political campaign, said Renner, while speaking Tuesday night to a crowd of more than 80 people who attended his election party at Realty on Monroe, 111 East Monroe Street. Our victory tonight is affirmation that Bloomington is not afraid of ideas or progress or of moving forward, that the politics of the past, the politics of exclusion, of division and not inclusion, and politics of no was flatly rejected by Bloomington residents today. Bloomington is a community that welcomes all, he added. It's an inclusive community, one that welcomes optimism and not fear. We reject fear. In the unofficial tally of all 52 precincts reporting, Renner garnered 6,038 votes, or 56.4%, and Ward 1 Alderman Kevin Lower received 4,644 votes, or 43.3%. Voters cast 10,775 ballots representing 21.62% of the 49,849 registered voters. Both Renner and Lower, the top two finishers in the February 28th five-way primary, were first elected to their offices in 2013. They beat out three other candidates, a former radio talk show host Ian Bain, retired Bloomington firefighter Mike Fike, and Ward 8 Alderman Diane Howman. Lower spent Election Day at work selling cars at Anderson Ford in Clinton before arriving at 7:30 p.m. to greet about 35 supporters attending his watch party at Jim's Steakhouse at 2307 East Washington Street. I certainly appreciate everybody's efforts, said Lower. If it wasn't for them, I could have never done this. Lower did not seek re-election to his Ward 1 seat in the council so he could vie to unseat Renner as mayor. Downtown businessman Jamie Mathey beat out political newcomer Susan Feldkamp to succeed Lower as the ward's alderman. Renner told reporters that during his second term he will move towards revitalizing underperforming areas in the city, including the downtown. He also is not ruling out a downtown hotel development. If we get the right deal, we've had three and we've turned down three down, it'll help us to get more gigs at the U.S. Cellular Coliseum, reduce some of the red ink, and we'll also have more people coming downtown, Renner said. But let me be clear, any project will have to pay for itself. We do have to make more payments on our street, he added. We also want to make sure, as we are growing jobs in our local economy, that we focus on Eastland Mall. Eastland Mall has to reinvent itself. Throughout the campaign, Renner often cited that what he said was Lower's long record of voting no and failing to work with his fellow aldermen to propose solutions. I think Kevin Lower is an honest man, but that's not the only thing that it takes, said Renner. You have to have solutions. You have to be proactive. You have to move the city forward. You can't just say no. And at the close of this column, there is a picture of an Illinois State campaign volunteer for Mayor Tari Renner after he won the election Tuesday evening during a watch party. And the center of the article is a picture of Mr. Lower. And that concludes that article. So we'll move on here to other election news, where Grammer was elected Normal Township Supervisor. This is by Dirk Bai. Four Democrats were elected to lead Normal Township on Tuesday, unseating Republican incumbents for supervisor and three trustee seats. Republicans held on to one trustee post and township clerk. Sarah Grammer, a Normal Public Library Board member and business analyst, won the top seat over Normal City Council member and license counselor Cheryl Gaines, a Republican who received 3,113 votes to 2,990. She succeeds retiring Republican Supervisor Rich Farr. Vote totals are still preliminary as of Tuesday night. Grammer, 36, could not be reached for comment after results were delivered Tuesday. She said before that she was excited, win or lose, to have educated residents about their township and run with a slate of Democrats. Politics won out over public service, and that's always sad to see when party lines make a difference. But it is what it is, Gaines said Tuesday evening. I wish Sarah well. I wish the new trustees well. I have lots of clients that I do counseling with, so I've got a lot of work there that I can continue to do, but there are lots of things I can do and want to do. I haven't really thought that far ahead, Gaines said. For trustees, voters chose Republican incumbent Ray Rope with 2,979 votes over Democrat Sally Payne by 2,928 votes. Democrat Arlene Hosea had 2,730 votes over Democratic candidate Samantha Quigley at 2,528. The next highest vote-getters were Democrat Joe Gorsuch with 2,372. Next was incumbent Republican Randy Schaub with 2,368. Melvin Schultz, 2,255. And Richard Phillips, 2,236. And Libertarians C. McDermott, 606. Stephen Seuss with 474, and Alex Nigro, 404. Republican clerk Amy Conklin defeated Democratic challenger Jody Sloth over 3,043 votes to 2,887. Republican assessor Rob Cranston and Highway Commissioner Aaron Rader were unopposed. And at the conclusion of this article, we have pictures of Miss Grammer and Miss Gaines. I'm sure you want to know now about the race for the Normal mayor, and let's talk about it. Normal mayor's race, too close to call. Three were chosen for council. Again, this is by Derek Bai. Normal won't know its next mayor for at least 2 weeks. Incumbent Chris Coos and challenger Mark Tertulli fought to a near draw in Tuesday's election, finishing 7 votes apart, fewer than 35 outstanding absentee ballots. It's 2 weeks before they'll officially called, said McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael, whose office oversees Normal's elections. If they're postmarked before Tuesday, they count. Michael said either candidate could request a recount after the absentee ballots are counted. That would take an undetermined amount of time and has never happened in Michael's time as clerk. Neither man declared victory or defeat Tuesday evening, though each told the Pantograph he'll seek a recount if necessary. Coos said he prepared to serve as mayor until the race is decided, but he's not sure the legal on all that, he said. The race shouldn't negatively impact the town's business, regardless. It's 7 people leading the community. It's not one person, Coos said. Normal town council is pretty united on where they want to be in leading the community forward. Coos was credited with 3,113 votes to Turtelli's 3,106. Coos, age 68, has been mayor since 2003 and owns Vitus Cycle Shop in Normal. Turtelli, 51, is a Bloomington High School science teacher. Turtelli said he has full confidence in the staff at the county offices to count the remaining votes and conduct a possible recount. I'm sure I'll be in touch with them over the next few days to get the particulars, he said. It's just going to take some time to get more information. Coos said he didn't expect it to be as tight as it was. We've got 2 weeks to see where this goes, and maybe longer, he said. I'm feeling pretty good about where I am in the community, and I'm very happy about the outcome of the council vote. Turtelli said earlier Tuesday he felt tired but very satisfied about his campaign. He said he was proud to run a competitive campaign and to encourage debate about town issues, including the town public comment policy changed last month. No matter what, we did a good job on both campaigns, and it's up to the voters, he said. We left it all out on the court. I have no regrets. And Coos agreed. Two hard-run campaigns. We'll see which one resonated, he said. Voters also chose three Normal City Council members. These council members were Kimberly Cummings, Kevin McCarthy, and Scott Preston. McCarthy and Preston have served on the council since 2013. Cummings, a newcomer, succeeds Cheryl Gaines, who lost a bid for Normal Township Supervisor on Tuesday. Cummings is a 34-year-old State Farm business architect. McCarthy is a 52-year-old performance and lifestyle coach at Path Performance. And Preston is the 29-year-old founder and president of real estate company Tomorrow Enterprises, LLC. McCarthy led the field with 3,652 votes, followed by Preston's 3,377, Cummings' 2,998, and Ron Ulmer's 2,848. Write-in candidate James Wood won 116 votes. Other write-in candidates received 69 votes. And courtesy of David Prober, we have pictures of Normal Mayor Chris Coots and David Blumenshire congratulating the candidate, Mr. Turtelli, for a hard-fought campaign during their watch party. And then we have pictures of, again, Mr. Turtelli and Mr. Coos, one supplied by Ed Thompson. So that concludes our first page of the paper. Let's go on. In one more article about the elections, let's look at an article from Kevin Barlow. It's Mathay Bray to join the Bloomington Council. Jamie Mathay says he would like to improve communications between city officials and residents of Ward 1 as he prepares to take the seat he once held in Bloomington City Council. Mathay will join Kimberly Bray as new faces on the councils. Incumbents Maboka Mimboa and Joni Painter retained their seats in Tuesday's municipal election. Mathay received 737 votes to defeat Susan Feldkamp, who had 418, for the seat currently held by Kevin Lower, who lost in his general election challenge to Mayor Terry Renner. Mathay was appointed to the council by then-Mayor Stephen Stockton in February of 2013 to fill a vacancy created by the resignation of Bernie Anderson. Mathay then lost his seat to Lower 2 months later. We are super excited, Mathay said Tuesday night. We had an awesome team of volunteers who pulled everything together. I am super humbled. Mathay said he is looking forward to receiving input from Ward 1 residents. I would like to reestablish communication through a newsletter so I can easily communicate with our residents and receive feedback, he said. This is a team effort between citizens and the council. In Ward 3, incumbent Mwabe said fixing the city's streets and infrastructure remains his top priority as he received 622 votes, defeating Gary Lambert, Bob Clay, and Jay Balmer. Painter retained her seat in Ward 5, defeating Guadalupe Diaz the third, 590 votes to 493. Painter said her top budget priorities are public safety and improving the city's infrastructure. Bray will be the new Ward 9 alderman, as she received 746 votes to defeat Greg Rodriguez with 566 and Shirari Mufti with 363 for the seat held by Jim Fruin, who did not seek re-election. Bray, an attorney, said she wants to improve response times for fire and emergency services in Ward 3. This will be her first elected office position. This kind of concludes our election news, but let's take a look at today's flick fact. Okay, here we go. There's rain in the forecast for today. Again, he says. April showers are a famous expression in songs, poems, and phrases. Is April the month that actually gets the most rain, showers, and rainfall in Bloomington Normal? So think about it, all you lifelong residents. Is April the month that actually gets the most showers and rainfall in Bloomington Normal? And the answer is... No! While Aprils like this one bring lots of showers, coincidentally, it is the month that you might think is the driest. Coincidentally, it is the month that you might think is the driest, August, that is the rainiest month in Bloomington Normal. Believe it. According to the averages, annually, August brings 7.56 inches of rain here in Bloomington Normal, whereas April gets 5.818 inches, and November is the third rainiest with 3.86 inches. So, what a fun fact. Top rainy months, August, followed by April, and then November. Who knew? Okay, let's go back up to the top here, and we're going to look at the Daily Digest. Kiwanis sets Mother's Day plant sale. The 8th annual Bloomington Kiwanis Mother's Day flower sale will be May 10th through the 13th at the shops at College Hills Normal. The club's largest annual fundraiser, which sends children to Camp Limberlost at Lake Bloomington, will offer a host of annuals, herbs, vegetable garden plants, and hanging and potted plants. The sale will be from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day in tents between Yankee Candle and Ann Taylor Loft. The flowers are provided by Wendell Nippengage Greenhouses. Master gardeners will be on hand to advise shoppers on the plant selections and how to plant pots. Please be noted that there are road closures. Jefferson Street on Bloomington. Jefferson Street between Madison and Center Streets is closed to through traffic for sewer repairs. Drivers should find alternate routes. Here are a couple of today's highlights from history. Today, on April 5th, back in 1792, guess what? George Washington cast his first veto, rejecting a congressional measure for appropriating representatives among the states. So, first of the executive orders there, or executive vetoes. And In 1621, the Mayflower sailed from Plymouth Colony in present-day Massachusetts on a month-long return to England. So they were picking spring weather at the time. And in 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an executive order creating the Civilian Conservation Corps and an anti-hoarding order that effectively prohibited private ownership of gold. The thought for today comes from Allen Ginsberg. He said he was a poet from 1926 to 1997. I know too much and not enough. So think about it. In more local news, in entertainment, the city names interim BCPA director by Maria Nagel. While arena management firm Venue Works is providing one of its former executives to fill in as interim director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, the arrangement is not expected to be long-term. Carl St. Clair, a Venue Works vice president of operations and projects, before retiring in 2011, was named interim director on Tuesday. St. Clair will begin his duties on April 13. He fills the vacancy left by the sudden death of former director Tina Solomon on March 5th. Venue Works already provides the city with management services at the Coliseum, and there is great synergy to be realized between the two facilities at this time when it comes to event booking, technical support, and so on, said City Manager David Hales. Plus, our relationship with Venue Works is allowing us to get a professional interim director in place at the BCPA very quickly. The arrangement does not signify a commitment with the city for Venue Works to provide booking of events for the BCPA on a long-term basis, noted the Venue Works president, Steve Peters. St. Clair, who's of Oklahoma City, is not interested in becoming the BCPA's permanent director, Peter said. It's just an interim general manager that we had available. It, said Peters, it's an expedient solution on a short-term basis. In this case, when the BCPA executive director passed away suddenly, the city inquired about our ability to help them in the interim because they knew it would take a while, several months probably, to do a full-scale search for a new manager there, said Peters. The city will begin the search process in the near future for a permanent BCPA director. The city's contract with Venue Works for interim management of the BCPA is effective through July 29th or until either party provides notice specifying a termination date at least 30 days from the date of notice. The term may be extended by mutual agreement. The city will pay Venue Works $8,500 monthly. Of that, St. Clair will receive a monthly contractor's fee of $7,500, which also will cover his expenses while he is in Bloomington, said Peters. The remaining $1,000 will cover Venue Works expenses for offering additional support, particularly ongoing booking in the theater, so that Solomon's annual salary, which was $72,204. So you can kind of compare there. Mr. St. Clair has an impressive background, and the city is fortunate that he will be assisting us during this time of transition, said Hale. St. Clair's 50 years of experience, including managing convention centers, arenas, performing arts centers, auditoriums, stadiums, fairground facilities. He's an active consultant to Venue Works regarding new businesses and venue oversight. Other past positions include being executive director of the Pine Bluff, Arkansas Convention Center, executive director of the River Center and Adler Theater Departments in Davenport, Iowa, executive director of the Verizon Wireless Arena in Minnetonka, Mankato, Minnesota, and assistant director of the Oklahoma City Public Events Facilities Department, Myriad Convention Center, Civic Center, Music Hall. And that's a lot of good references, and we have a picture at the closing of Mr. St. Clair. Here are some brief notes on the school board elections. First of all, in Normal, we have two incumbents and two newcomers will be seated on the McLean County Unit 5 School Board after securing 2- and 4-year terms in Tuesday's elections. Incumbent Joseph Cleary of Normal and newcomers David Fortain of Carlock and Tuwana Leffler of Bloomington earned 4-year seats on the board. Incumbent Meta Meekins Baker of Bloomington was elected to serve a 2-year term. They were chosen from 5 candidates to join the board. In the only contested race, a result of congressional township laws designed to assure geographic diversity, Leffler defeated Solomon Saul Roberts Lieb. In Bloomington election, form named in close race for District 87 School Board. Here in Bloomington, voters selected 2 incumbents and 2 first-timers to fill 4 seats on Bloomington's District 87 School Board in Tuesday's election. Incumbent Mary Yaunt and Bridget Beasley will return to the 7-member board. Newcomers are Elizabeth Fox Anvik and Charles Chuck Irwin. They were also elected, and all seats are for a 4-year term. 1 seat was made available by Jennifer Sudbrook, who joined the board in 2012 and did not file in for re-election. The race for the final seat was close, but Irwin, a retired teacher administrator for Strader Elementary District 44, took the spot. In other state news, here's a sad note that divers have located the body of a missing Illinois man. Out of Springfield, divers have found the body of a Central Illinois man more than a week after he took a watercraft on Lake Springfield. 49-year-old Joseph J. Ayers of Rochester was found Monday. The Sangamon County Coroner's Office says a preliminary autopsy found Ayers died from drowning due to blunt force injuries to his head and neck. The Springfield Police Department says it's continuing to investigate the incident. And also, we have learned that there will be a hiring freeze, possibly, that could hurt the Thompson prison. U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Representative Sherry Busto have written a letter to the Department of Justice in the effort to keep a hiring freeze from affecting the Thompson prison in northwestern Illinois. And they sent this letter out Monday. And President Trump had ordered in January that there would already be a freeze, has already forced the facility to postpone hiring a new class of incoming officers. And this was the concern, the Dixon Telegraph reported. So, and this concludes our first session. We'll take a short break now and return to the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, April the... What did I say? Oh my goodness. It's already April 5th. In just a moment. Please stay tuned.